punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. How about this weather change? I mean, we go from one extreme to the other. It is western Oklahoma and eastern Texas panhandle. You never know what's going to go on. Currently, I think this is right. Let me refresh, make sure. Oh, yeah, 71 degrees. Humidity is 39. North winds at 21 miles an hour with wind gust up to 27 miles an hour. And I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here shortly. And it looks good as far as rain chances are. Actually, the next 7 to 10 days looks good after that. But we'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. Right now, let's check out some prices going on the futures. Start with, if I can get it to cooperate with me. There we go. Looks like live cattle and feeder cattle are all down today. They was up early this morning, but it's back down again. June on live cattle is 131.32, August 131.22, October 137.22, live cattle for December 143.02, feeder cattle May 153.50, August 163.50, lean hogs are up, June 107.60, July 108.05, and August is 107.02, and cotton hanging in there at 147 a pound right now for July. And sugar from my buddies over at Dale High, it's at 19 cents a pound, almost to 20. So you're becoming more worthy of being existent there, Mr. Bill Dance. Let's check out the cash grain prices. And Oklahoma is of 11 a.m. Hard red winter wheat is down, not the limit, but it's getting close, 11.91. Corn, 807, Milo, 765, and soybeans are way up. They're at 1631 a bushel, and that's what we got there. Well, let's see what's causing all this ruckus with the yo-yo I've named the grain market for the last month or two. Wheat and corn futures fell in overnight trading as investors who were long the market, or as we know, bet on higher prices, seems to be selling contracts and liquidating their positions amidst talks of reopening Ukraine trade and India continuing to ship grain. Exports from the country, which was expected to be the third largest shipper of wheat before the Russian attacks began, could resume shipments through alternate transportation routes, according to the United Nations Secretary General. Russia is the world's biggest shipper of wheat. India late last week said it would ban exports of grains in a bid to ensure domestic supply, but this week it's reversed course and said it would honor commitments already made. No new ones, but the ones they made. The original ban on exports caused prices to jump, but they fell back after India said it would limit its restrictions and continue to ship wheat that previously had been ordered. The uncertainty about global trade likely has led speculators to take some contracts on the table. Investors are also keeping an eye on the Kansas wheat tour, which I'm going to talk about that in the last segment of the show. They wrapped up day two yesterday, and they just wrapped it up. They'll be wrapping it completely up today. On their second day in the hard red winter wheat fields, crop scouts forecast an average of 37 bushels an acre in southwestern Kansas. That's down from the forecast of the region, which is normally around 56 to 57 bushels a year. Wheat for May delivery lost 13 and a quarter cents to $11.87 and a quarter cents a bushel in the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 15 and a quarter to $12.80 a bushel. Corn futures were down 7 cents to $7.76 and a quarter cent a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery fell 1.5 cents to $16.89 a bushel. Soy meal lost $1.30 to $424 a short ton, while soybean oil futures added 0.62 cents to 80.15 cents a pound. Well, I got your Jimmy tip of the week for field corn. If you're planning on planting any corn this year, late season corn, I know a lot of early corn's already in, but I learned something yesterday. So you go out there, this is an irrigated field. Go out there and dig a hole about 2 foot by 2 foot. Dig it down about 18 inches. Fill it up about 3/4 of the way full with water and put a goldfish in there. Sometime during that, while the crop's growing, if that goldfish dies, you're not watering enough. So anyway, I learned this yesterday. So that's how much water it takes to grow irrigated corn, of course. Dryland corn, a whole different ballgame. So there it is. We are streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KCOFM.com. And, of course, we're streaming. We're not streaming, but we're loud and clear on the radio right now. In the studio with me today, coming up next segment, is Mr. Ty Ford. We're going to talk about one of our favorite subjects, his and mine, raising local beef and having it processed local and selling it local. So anyway, don't miss out on that. And actually, me and him's probably going to start talking about some what him and I are the little guys in this part of the world. So as far as farming and ranching is concerned, we might touch on some input costs, what's happening to the little guys, because we know what's happening to the big guys. And anyway, with all these fertilizer and fuel and all this other stuff going crazy right now. But anyway, I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
XIT Auctions will be selling 400 acres of good Kiowa County land Thursday, June the 2nd in Hobart, Oklahoma. The auction will be conducted at the Women's Exhibit Building, selling 400 acres and 3 tracks. These are located 6 miles north of Lone Wolf, Oklahoma on County Road 2090. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440, or check us out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually ring him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers, and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodford Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, May 17th. We sold 745 cow foals and calves. Thursday, May the 19th, we sold 3,615 calves and feeders for a total of 4,360 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows break 79.50 to 85.5. Thin cows break 45 to 78.5. Bulls brought 85 to 1150. 2 to 4 year old bred cows 900 to 1235. With our 5 to 8 year old bred cows 850 to 1285. 5 to 8 year old pairs 1200 to 1400. And our 9 and older pairs 1150. Steer cattle 350 to 4 weight steers 18450 to 212. We have 36 of those steers weighing 387, bring 212. 4 to 450, 184 to 192. 5 to 550, 172 to 187. 6 to 650, 154 to 186. 7 to 750 steers, 149 to 157, 8-8-50, 145 and a half to 151, with their 9-9-50 steers, 135 to 140.75. 50 fleshy steers out of the feedlot weighing 1109, bring 125. 100 heifers, 3 to 4 weight heifers, 163 to 184, 4 to 450, 150 to 161, 5 to 550, 135 up to 151, 6 to 650, 145 to 155 and a quarter, 7 to 750 heifers, 140.50 to 145, 8 to 850, 122 to 135, and our 9 to 950 heifers, 127 up to 130.50. For this Tuesday, May the 24th, we will have 35, possibly have 35 Red Angus pairs. They're 2 years old. Hadn't called back yet to say for sure. Also, give us a call to find out. Also, we got 30 bred cows and pairs and another 25 other running age bred cows. Give us a call. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9, and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. Welcome back. It is currently 70 degrees. The winds are still out of the north at 22 miles an hour. The wind gust at 28. I was just thinking about, you know, they got the PGA golf tour going on in Tulsa right now. And them poor golfers are going to find out what Oklahoma weather is. Yesterday they was sweating at 90-something degrees. Today it's windy and cooler, and tomorrow they'll have a jacket on. So anyway, man, the forecast looks crazy is all I can say. But there's moisture involved. Mr. Ty Ford, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
How's things going with you?
It's good. There's green grass outside.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's amazing what an inch every now and then and a half inch sprinkled in.
Two tenths.
We'll take what we can get over here.
Yeah, we got 3 tenths out here west of town where I got my first calf heifers at, not my second calf heifers at, but anyway, it's just that grass is just slowly getting after it.
Yeah, it's doing something. Hey, I got to tell you about that keeping track how much rain you get. I don't have a rain gauge on any place I've got. My mom keeps one at her house, but this is a rule of thumb I've always used, and I tell a lot of folks this. I said, you find your 3 or 4 neighbors right around your area or whatever. Anytime you get a rain, you call them, you text them, hey, how much you get? You know, and it's funny, they can be across the road from each other. You know, one of them's living right and one's not. One's, I got 3/4 inch. I got a 1/2 inch. Well, I just always talk to all of them. Whichever one got the most, I assume that's what my farm's got.
That's what
makes me sleep better at night.
Yeah, it goes with it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, well, it's like where I live across the river, and my landlord that I rent the farm ground off of is on the other side of the river, and it's just a mile apart. I physically know I got 1.2 inches there on one of those rains last week, and he calls, and he got 1.1. He said, what are you doing on that side of the river? I said, well, I go to church on Sunday morning, not Sunday night.
Right.
And he hasn't talked to me since. And so, but, man, you're part of the dream team, I call it. And the dream team is people that raise cattle around here to be butchered and sold to individuals, whether it's friends, family, or just, you know, I sell some, and I've sold them as far as Oklahoma City and Kansas City, and because locally raised beef, it's the way to go. It doesn't get any better than that.
I'm obviously a big fan of it. You know, we've been doing this for, I don't know, probably around, we've raised cattle for quite a few years, but been doing the butcher beef deal for about 4 years now. And, majority of ours, is like you said, stays right here local around Elk City. We've got some family over at Clinton. Then my wife's family, we've shipped to Louisiana.
Yep.
I think we've sent some. It's traveled a little bit. But, we're raise it here, sell it here, and it gets eaten here.
Yeah, and then it does, and what do you tell people when you offer them beef or try to sell some beef or something like that? What's your selling point?
Well, I'm sure everybody's heard my annoying ads on the radio here lately, but my big deal is, everything we sell, it's born on our place, raised on our place, fed out on our place, processed locally and go straight to your freezer.
Yep.
And to me, there's just I can tell you every bit of story about every one of them. You know, there's no hormones, no anything. You know, nothing to make the hamburger meat stay a pretty color pink, even though it's been shipped from, you know, wherever. This is all processed right here. I tell people it's kind of funny to think a month ago that steer might have been standing 2 miles from your house, and now it's in your freezer.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, and hopefully they didn't name it driving by.
another good one, my kids are both heavily involved in our process of this and everything, and it's been kind of fun to watch my sweet little daughter. She gets it. You know, we had some that we fed out at the house a while back, and there was just four steers standing there. She named all four of them. Well, they were going to school that morning, and she drove by, and she called all four of them by name. She said, bye. I mean, that was it. She knew that was the end for those four that they had. You know,
usually not the case.
Oh no, I know, but you know, that's it.
She gets it.
Oh yeah, she gets it. She knows what this is all about. She knows. Yeah. She knows where the steak and the hamburger comes from.
Yeah.
She's not afraid to name them and eat them a month later.
Well, one of my biggest selling points is, or I'm not even trying to sell. I got people that just call me, and we just allot that many for that quarter of the year, and then that's what we'll sell. But it's not only are you getting better quality beef, I think, for the most part, and you know who's cutting on the meat around you. You know who's working, whether it's Schneeberger's or Route 66 or Ray Schoen's or the butcher block there. You know who's cutting on it. You know they're going to treat you right. And it ain't somebody just there to earn $5 an hour plus tips, which is usually about $20 an hour. But sales tax, you don't pay any.
No. Well, you know, and I've went over this with the accountant to make sure we're doing it right. But
yep,
you know, when you're selling a whole and a half beef, it goes down the same as a steer you sold at the sale barn or yep, whatever, you know. And they even go as far as to tell you that your retail beef that you sell out of the freezer that's been inspected already, you know, it's the same as selling an animal. You right. know, as long as you're selling it from your house,
yep,
it saves you on that.
And
so
hopefully the government doesn't listen too much and change that ways,
right? Right.
But it's a true fact. And 10%, that's a lot of money.
Oh yeah. Hey, I need every bit of it in my pocket I can get. I don't need to be making donations to the government or anybody else right now.
No. And what's some of the feedback you got from some of your customers?
I'll tell you, just some of the neatest parts is your repeat customer. That's the biggest pat on the back you can get doing this.
Right.
You know, you sell them a half, and 9 months or 12 months later, they call, and they'll just, you know, I mean, nothing groundbreaking, just earth-shattering news. Just they'll tell you, like, man, you know, we cooked fillets the other night, and, man, you could cut them with your fork. Or,
right.
You know, or we just had a roast or a brisket or something like that. Just any time you talk to one of your customers, and they'll just in passing tell you, you know, it was the best this or the best that. I mean, that's a feather in your cap, a pat on the back, whatever.
Well, you need to hear feedbacks, because if you need to change something,
you bet.
But if you can cut a fillet with a fork, pretty sure you got that feet quantity set just right.
Right, right, right.
And the genetics of your calf, of course. So, yeah. What kind of you got?
My program, it's kind of borderlines with rocket science. I let somebody else do all the genetics. I've built my cow herd. It's a pretty much straight Angus cow herd. A lot of them come from Hudson Angus. In the past, we'd run some Price bulls,
right.
But I try to run a straight Angus cow herd, and then Vanderwerk Herefords up there, what is it, around Sealing or whatever, I think.
Yep.
That's where I get a bunch of my Hereford bulls from there.
Right.
So I try to, you know, majority of my calves are, you know, the F1 cross, the true black baldies.
Right.
And then, you
black
know.
Herefords.
Black baldies, black motts is in my books. But, you know, then I keep back, sort through my heifers and try to sell some of my nicer heifers, you know, for replacements for people. But then the majority, you know, all my steers, I don't want to sell my customer the cripple, the this, the that. I take the cream of the crop out of my steers, and that's what we put on feed.
Right. And then you eat the cripples, right?
Nope. There's only one benefit to this. I tell a lot of people this is real close to a nonprofit organization that I'm running. So it may be the only benefit I truly get out of this is when I'm eating the good stuff too. I'm going to go pick out the good ones, and we'll sell a bunch, but every now and then we'll put a half or a whole in our freezer. But I want the good stuff too. It's the only thing I'm getting out of it.
Well, you're lighting up the text line, so you're sitting down. You ready for this question?
We'll try it.
Said, would he be willing to try Bramer Hump? There's your expression if you're watching.
as far as is that something I'm supposed to eat? I'll try anything once, I guess. But
I've heard some people that tries the hump, and I'm sure he likes it. That Texas in here now, but somebody a couple months ago said something about the Bramer Hump. So I Googled it. Of course, I wished I hadn't.
Right.
But anyway, I Googled it and was doing it. And, it all comes down to how you cook it.
Yeah. I tend to stick to your standard cuts of meat normally. I'm not even much of a tongue or tail or guy, really. I just
I'm not either.
Stick to the normal cuts of meat.
When I got some of my Mexican friends doing the stuff for the tamales, now I'm good with that, as long as they do the cooking.
Cause right, let them make them.
I know how to do it, and I love tamales, but they got to do it. When I was working down there, I was right on the border, actually. I could throw a rock into the river down there in South Texas, and we had a guy that came over to work on the workover rig every day. He lived across the border. Man, twice a week he'd bring me a full package full of tamales, and I don't care if they was USDA inspected or not, they were good. Let's see, we got a cow tongue response here. Let's check out what they say. Cow tongue with anchovy sauce, grilled medium rare.
They can eat it all day.
So, anyway, well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to touch a little bit more on homegrown beef and getting it processed local. And we're going to maybe talk a little bit, if he wants to, about what's happening with him and I's input costs. And it's the same as everybody else. But a lot of people don't realize what goes on a farm and ranch, that it's everything. And so we'll be right back after this. I have Ty Ford on here. Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 13th. 928 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 328 brought 197. 7 at 445 brought 193. 3 at 583 brought 149. 5 at 704 brought 151.50. 12 at 921 brought 113.75. 3 head of heifers at 208 brought 197. 4 at 419 brought 166. 3 at 538 brought 139. 5 at 550 brought 156. 4 at 766 brought 138.50. Butcher cows were 32 to 92. Butcher bulls brought 73 to 111. Bred cows were 675 to 1360. Pairs brought 275 to 1750. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes, good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com.
You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
The Elk City Rotary Club's radio auction returns June 2nd and 3rd from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. each night. Be sure and follow the KECO and Elk City Rotary Facebook pages to see fantastic items donated by local businesses that you have a chance to bid on. Money raised will go to support various projects in the area, and there are two ways to bid. First, by calling 580-225-9696 or by texting 580-225-9697. Don't miss out on the chance to save big on local merchandise during the Elk City Rotary Club's radio auction June 2nd and June 3rd.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm here, don't worry. I was trying to get this updated. Oh, 71 degrees still. Winds out of the north at 19 with gusts up to 24. And I'll have that long ranger forecast for you for Hobart Farm and Garden coming up. And I got a few garden tips for you coming up next segment after the forecast. In the studio with me right here, one of my favorite producers of cattle to sell beef to local people around here, Mr. Ty Ford. Welcome back, Mr. Ford.
Thank you. Thank you.
We were talking about tongues and tail heads and brains and all that stuff that people are wanting us to try. We got another one. Let's see what we got on this one. There is another way I do my cow tongue. Slice it in half and put jalapenos on it, pepper jack cheese, and wrap it with bacon and grill it.
They can have that one, too.
Oh, there we go. Well, I mean, I'm not faulting those people. There's a lot of people that eat the tongue and the brain, the heart, and all that stuff. But we're not. I'm just tying up.
I'm not adventurous.
Yeah, I'm not either. So, anyway, it's probably good if we just try it. But I don't know about that Bramer hump. I'm not sold. I shouldn't have Googled it.
Right.
I should have just went and tried it. But anyway, well, you guys, how do you do your cattle? You do it, you got some to get ready about every 3 months or 4 months? How you do that?
I'm not near as organized as I should be, and I don't mind admitting that.
Okay.
I mean, really, I've got 9 head coming out, 1st of June. Then I've got a few in August, few September, and then a whole bunch in October. I really just kind of ear tag them.
Right.
To keep my sets as to when they've been on feed the full amount of time is when they come out. And so at any one time, I may have 3 different sets of steers running in one pen. Yeah,
right.
Just so I can keep them separate, in my mind, which ones go.
You mind sharing how long you keep them on feed?
I tell all my customers a minimum of 90 days.
Okay.
And that's what little research I've done. That's kind of, optimization of your feed and this kind of stuff. But you should get your plenty of marbling, everything you need, 90 days. And a lot of folks will tell you need to do 120, 150.
180.
And I'm sure you might notice a small difference, but I would notice a huge difference in my cost.
Yes.
With the price of what feed's done, which we were talking earlier, and we'll probably get to that, but that's kind of been my secret numbers. I guarantee them 90 days on full feed.
Before they go. Yeah, I've heard some guys do it 60 and 75, and I don't think that's enough because I've tried them on every date, and I really don't know. I think the longer they are, yes, you'll probably get more marbling and all that, but it just depends on your demand and when they're ready for their meat. So you go with that, but 90 days is a good number for minimal.
Yeah.
And, speaking of feed, since you brought up that cost deal, let's get into that. How about the last year or so?
It's been a roller coaster, mainly up as far as prices go, not so much down, but it's been a wild ride. I get fortunately, the end user understands. You know, they realize that the price of everything's gone up. And so I haven't really had too many people balk and squawk and squeal about the price. But, I mean, I bet you almost every set of steers I've hauled in, I've gone up. I sell it by the hanging weight.
Right.
But you have to. I mean, it's such a small profit margin in this deal. As the price of the feed goes up, you have to, follow that with your hanging weights just to try to, keep a profit margin, period.
Right.
So...
Well, you talk about that profit margin with the feed going up and everything. not only has feed gone up, but everything else has gone up. And, you know, your fuel cost, just everything's gone up. I guess I'm sitting here, my mind just kind of went blank there for a second, but fuel cost, because you got to understand, we got to go to town and get some feed. And we got to go get that creep feeder filled up. Or if we have them delivered out there, it still costs more money to have it delivered.
You know, the price of fertilizer, whether the farmer's putting it on his crop or whatever. So the fertilizer's doubled. Our feed price has doubled. The diesel price has doubled. So it's just kind of a trickle-down effect. As all that price goes up, the price of the beef has to go up.
Right. And the thing about it is, everything's doubled or tripled in the last year, but the price of cattle hasn't.
No, and that's...
it's still at a good price right now.
That's, and, you know, farmers, I think farmers, ranchers, would take a bad rap that we're always squealing about something, and we probably are, truth be known.
We need to.
But, like you said, the price of all that, all the stuff we use has doubled. The price of the cattle, it has not doubled. The price is solid, it's strong, it's decent, but it hasn't doubled like the price of everything else to proportionately keep up with it. So I think the price of cattle's behind a little bit. I wish we knew the solution.
Yeah, I don't think more laws is the solution.
Right.
But that's just my personal opinion anyway. Well, we got I got Ty Ford in the studio, and he's a local producer here that feeds out cattle to be sold and processed here locally. Friends, neighbors, and just customers, anybody that wants to buy some beef, and it's good. I've talked to a few people that have bought beef from him, and they're totally happy. Now, when you get one of those that you sell off, I said this about 4 or 5 months ago. One of the guys I know that sells beef over at Canute, he said that he sold to friends of theirs down in Dallas. And he said the old boy called back a couple months later after buying half a beef from him, cussing him. He said, "What's wrong?" He said, "My wife won't go out and eat now." that's a good deal. But there's... and the thing of it is, I have seen processing has been holding pretty steady on their price, which is, I mean, it's might have gone up just a few pennies, but they've been holding pretty steady, which is a good thing, because somebody's got to pay to have the thing cut up.
Oh yeah, the process has been very busy.
Yes.
The waiting list to get into a lot of the local guys around here and stuff, but that's great. They haven't gone crazy, following the price of a bunch of the other stuff, which is good, because that helps keep it affordable for folks to buy this local beef.
Yep. And now, do you sell cattle to the sale barn just like any other normal cattleman around here, or do you fatten all yours?
My goal is to get to where all my steers, this is the plan for them, but I haven't grown this side big enough yet to process all my steers, so I sell probably about half of my steers, about half my heifers, make it to the local sale barn.
Yeah. You're supporting a local sale barn.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So do I. I like supporting there's so much ruckus going on in the cattle world right now, pointing fingers at packers and feedlots and government officials, and you just don't know which way to go. So if you keep it simple, you can just do what you're doing and keep what you're going to do to feed out to a sale for butcher and take the rest of them to the sale barn. One thing some people that aren't in the cattle business don't understand is it costs money to hold on to these cattle that he's using to butcher, because usually you take them to the sale barn at a certain weight, get your money back, get that cow some relief from the calf nuts milking off of her all the time, and then you get your money right then. Well, when you hang on to your calves an extra 90 days, 120, 150, 180, whatever it is, that's money out of your pocket, and like you said, the longer you feed them, the more it costs.
Yeah, that I have one pasture that I keep the majority of my steers in, and just as I've little before 90 days before they're supposed to go to the butcher, I'll go peel out of that herd or whatever, but the price of hay's gone up. It hadn't rained much, so I've been burning through that hay pile. So just keeping that little jag of steers that I pull out of, it costs.
It costs money.
Yeah.
I feel your pain. We're there too.
Yeah.
But anyways, well, Mr. Ford, thank you so much for coming in, and tell everybody how they can get a hold of you if they want to buy some beef.
You can call my wife, 580-303-0341. She advertises there on Facebook. We've got her the ad on the radio. We have some coming available in August, some in September, and some in October. So we try to keep them, beef available. I used to say three or four times a year, but it's kind of grown to, we rarely go several months without having some available. So you can call her, or you can even call me at 580-799-0263.
Good. And then, yeah, that make you just brought up a good point. Don't think you're going to call somebody. It doesn't matter whether it's Ty, me, or anybody.
That was going to be one of my small soapboxes we didn't touch on, so okay. I'll hit it now.
Yeah.
And a lot of my repeat customers have been very good about this. They realize that we may not have beef available. You don't just call and go pick up a half of beef tomorrow. A lot of these repeat customers got to where they'll call and say, hey, when's your next set due? And I'll give them my next two or three dates as when I'll have beef available, and they'll pick what fits their freezer space best, right. So that's one of the things that's been really handy is these repeat customers are starting to realize that, we'll call, get on the books. I mean, the earlier you call us and prepare, because I've only got a certain number of steers available at each time, so, people calling it, it's easier for me to schedule, it's easier for them to schedule for freezer space and to come up with the money to pay for it and all that. So a little planning sure helps on my end and on their end.
Yeah, a couple months at least.
If they can call 2 or 3 months before they're ready for it, that'll give us all time to prepare.
You ready for this?
Let's have it.
The same gentleman talking about our person, I don't even know if it's a gentleman or a person, but anyway, they see that part of the cow's nose, if you cut it just right, it tastes like a browning, and I'm serious on this one, on where they cut the end of the nose off, I'm guessing.
Once again, I'll get the processors to hold back some of these parts for you. Figure up what they're worth for a pound of it, and I'll sell every bit of it to you, because my wife's not cooking it in our kitchen. She, not that it's bad, just because she's a little pickier than most.
Boy, I haven't heard that one. Tastes like a brownie.
if I want a brownie, I'm going to cook a brownie.
Yeah, it's going to have sugar and chocolate.
Yep, you bet.
Anyway, Mr. Ty, thanks a lot for coming in.
Yep, Mr. Jimmy, I appreciate you having me.
All right, thanks a lot. Well, when I come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you, and I'm going to briefly go over the last day of the wheat tour in Kansas so you know what's going on with the wheat harvest up there. We have combine crews been rolling south through the last week through Sarah that I know of, and I'm sure they're rolling through Clinton. They like 183 and 283, and they are cutting wheat north of the Red River now, I heard, south of Frederick. So the wheat is turning, and it's turning fast. So get ready for the harvest crews to come in town. Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
The nose, the part of the nose, cow's nose, if you cut it just right, it tastes like a browning. And I'm serious about this one. Well, gonna have a tough time with me on that one. Sorry. That I'm not doubting that it's good. I'm not that guy. I don't think Ty is either. Anyway, right now, let's go on with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Currently, it's 71 degrees. Surely the temperature's gone up. No, it's 72. Northeast winds, 19 miles an hour. Humidity is 38, and we have wind gusts up to 25. Today, sunny and 85, northeast winds 15 to 16 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, 55 miles an hour. And actually, the wind's going to pick up tonight. Be 17 to 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 30 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny, cooler. When I say cooler, I'm talking 20 degrees cooler. 66 degrees with northeast, north winds, 20 to 21 miles an hour, gusting up to 30 to 35 miles an hour. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow night, it's chilly, 44 degrees, with north winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Sunday, 71 for a high, looks beautiful. 71 degrees with light winds out of the north and east at 10 to 15 miles an hour. And that is light winds for western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas panhandle. So anyway, Sunday night, we have a 20% chance of thunderstorms, low around 52. We'll have east winds 10 to 14 miles an hour. Monday, 50% chance of rain, 72 for a high with east to southeast winds. Monday night, 70% chance of rain, 57 for a low Monday night. And then Tuesday, we have a 40% chance of rain with a high around 70 degrees with northeast winds, basically no wind, 6 to 10 miles an hour. Looking on way down in the far, far Long Ranger, next weekend, we have a really good chance of some major rains moving into the Texas Panhandle in western Oklahoma. Just FYI, though, looking at Gary McManus's Long Ranger summer forecast at the Oklahoma Mesonet, it doesn't look promising. The El Nino is still in place, and these showers and thunderstorms, they just got a weak spot going on, so we need to take advantage of all this rain that we're getting and put it to good use. And I know there's fertilizer trucks are moving. I don't know whether you got, I've read a deal where one guy says, if you pull into a neighborhood, farm neighborhood, and they're out there using anhydrants to put fertilizer down, they're just doing it because they want you to think that they're wealthy. And this other guy replied back, either that or they're stupid. So anyway, it doesn't matter. You got to do what you got to do on your own farm operation. And I priced getting some grass fertilized this morning. And wow. And it's crazy. But, you know, a lot of the Bermuda grass doesn't do very well unless you fertilize it. So it's just a whole different beast. I got a tip of the week from you, and it comes from a magazine that I get from it's called The Cattleman, and it comes from the Texas and Southwest Cattlemen's Association. Here's your tip. Consider fertilizer rates. Fertilizer, especially nitrogen fertilizer, is a key part of a forage management plan. If applications are reduced because of price concerns or other reasons, it is important cow numbers decrease to account for the reduced forage production. With less fertilizer, more acres are needed to support a cow-calf pair. Failing to reduce stocking rates in this situation will lead to increased supplement costs, reduce animal performance, or both. Evaluating and adjusting stocking rates is always important, but even more critical during periods of drought, abnormally dry conditions, or higher fertilizer prices. And I want to add to that, maybe not so much on Bermuda grass, but maybe on bluestem and your native grasses, if you don't reduce some of your stocking rates, which I don't know very many people that fertilize native grass, but lesson that I've seen that some people learned or should have learned back in the drought of 2011 and 12 is overgrazing your pastures, grubbing them down to the ground. That's not good on your grass. It's not good on your soil, as I've learned over some little technical words over the last year or so. As you know, if you don't have cover over your pastures, like where your native grass is, especially in your blue stems, covering your ground, you know, obviously Kent Watkins has said on here many a times, it's going to heat your ground up. Your ground's going to get hot. And when your ground's hot, your root systems are hot. Your plants are not doing very well, are not going to be very healthy. So overgrazing, I know you don't want to get rid of them cattle, but sometimes you got to. At least reduce the rates. And there's many spots between Elk City and Sayre along I-40 in the Red Shell Hills there that there was some overgrazing going on in some of those pastures I noticed back in 2011 and 12, and they had a hard time recovering after we did start coming out of the drought, and a lot of weeds popped up and a lot of this and that. So be good stewards of the land and take care of your ground just as well as you can, whether you know, like I said, I know it's hard to get rid of cattle. It's tough. You got a set of cattle you want, but it just... Greg Hartman from OSU was in here week before last, and he was talking about just start with your older cows. Get rid of some of your older cows or some that's got bad bags, or every now and then they get a bad hoof or prone to something. But anyway, just start culling if it is, and it looks like our drought's not totally over, and I'm not being pessimistic, it's being realistic. And I know weather is a science and it's a prediction going on, weather's total prediction, but it keeps popping up over and over, even with these rains we got coming. So just be wise to do this. Let's talk about the wheat tour. The 2022 Kansas wheat crop is projected to average 39.7 bushels per acre. That's down 19 bushels per acre from 2021. The 261 million bushel total wheat crop estimate from the nation's largest wheat producing state is less than the 271 million bushels the USDA projected in May, and if realized would be the lowest since 2014, when Kansas farmers grew 246.4 million bushels from 8.8 million acres that was harvested. It's also the lowest projection from the Wheat Quality Council's annual hard winter wheat tour of Kansas, and they actually took this tour into parts of Northern Oklahoma on their last day here. So let's check this out. The results was announced Thursday, and yesterday that was in Manhattan, Kansas. It came after 84 participants totaled 550 field stops over six predetermined routes throughout the state. The final day tour included 48 field stops between Wichita and Manhattan, and groups found yield potential in the region of between 22 and 113 bushels per acre. The state's wheat crop is a mix of good wheat mixed with bad due to dry conditions, and most of the western half going back to late last fall's planting. Wheat in this was summer fallow tends to be in better condition than wheat that was planted right after harvest of a fall crop, corn, soybeans, whatever. The fall crops use moisture much later in the growing season. leaving little behind to get 2021 planted winter wheat established. Drought stress was pronounced on the northern route of the first day of the tour, says Justin Keepin. He's the chief executive officer of Kansas Wheat Association. Short wheat and lower tiller number and head count suggest downside to trends yield in the region. In northern Oklahoma, not much better. And to the west of Enid, in that area over there, I'm guessing back towards Buffalo, but around the north of Enid and along I-35, the wheat crop doesn't look too bad at all. So anyway, that's what they figured out. Yields are going to be way lower in most parts, with some spotty averages being okay. Well, we got a few minutes left here. Let's see what's on the text line. Let's see if we could get what, see if we get some more good ideas. They see the part of cow's nose. Nope, I already read that. Anyway, here we go. Saving some water in your garden with the possibility of it being a drier than normal summer, water is going to be very important for everybody's homegrown gardens. Use a soaker hose. A lot of people I know use the soaker hoses, and I actually have some of them hoses, not necessarily hoses, but drip systems underneath my plastic. And actually, I got a drip system in my rows of onions that doesn't have plastic on it. That it uses a lot less water, and it just stays wet all the time. In areas where you can reuse gray water, recycle water, you can do that if you're in a spot where you can go with that, especially out in the country. I know some people have gray water and some have black water systems. Use your gray water to reuse on your deal, but be sure what you're washing down the drain on your gray water. Most important thing, I think, for the biggest part of gardens is mulch. The best way to conserve moisture to put down a layer of mulch. What a mulch layer does is cover up the soil so it keeps sun rays from drying it out through evaporation. Believe it or not, you can get on, I think, Planters Co-op down there at Hobart, and down in that area. You can, or Lone Wolf, the one at Lone Wolf, you can get on their website, and on their website it gives you an evaporation rate of soil and water, the whole nine yards. Or I just look at the one at Altus Lake, Lugard Lake, because it shows you how much water evaporates off of that lake every day. Even though they got water coming in, they still got water going out, even though it ain't going through the dam. The last time I checked, 3 or 4 days ago, it was evaporating like 0.2 inches a day. Same thing goes on with your garden. If you don't have it covered, you're losing moisture every day, even though you're applying it back. So if you're applying a 1 inch, you're only really putting anywhere from 6/10 to 3/4 of an inch in there, depending on how hot and windy it is that day. But you can check out evaporation. There's probably one on the Oklahoma Mezzanet, too. I really haven't looked for it on there. But you can find out how much your evaporation rate is. Mulch is super important. But I learned my lesson from mulch on... I use rye straw for mulch. Rye is very tough, very resilient to evaporating or just crumbling up and disappearing. Rye's the toughest straw of all the straws out there. I put it down, but I messed up. I put it down to my legumes too close, and it actually drawn nutrients out of the ground, mainly iron, next to my black-eyed peas. And lesson learned. So I just keep it about a foot away, and it helps with weed control too if you put it down thick enough. A lot easier to keep do it, because weed control in your garden is very time consuming. I just, when I see grass burrs or anything growing out in the garden, it just makes me do. But most plants, no matter what they are, need a total of 1 inch of water per week. Gentleman texted me yesterday, how wet do you keep your tomatoes? The way I would test it is if I go down there in the roots, next to the roots, and pull some dirt out, and if that dirt doesn't stick together, then it needs moisture. You just want to keep it damp, not muddy around, especially your tomato plants, but just your whole garden needs to be moist all the time to keep the garden healthier. But remember, When your garden is wet, the weeds will grow, and weeds blow in from everywhere. That don't mean they're growing around your house. They blow for miles. So there is your tip to get prepared for in your gardens, because it looks like it might be a dry summer. So keep your garden healthy by covering it up and keeping the water out. You guys have a blessed weekend. I'll be back Monday. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Stay connected.
Check us out.
Stay connected.
On Facebook.
KECO.